Welcome to For the Love of Conversation, the podcast that grew out of 3 Minute Storyteller, where we believe conversations connect us and social change begins with the stories we tell. At 3 Minute Storyteller, we share digital stories, video snippets of intimate, messy, expansive conversations with a wildly eclectic bunch of artists, scientists, leaders of all stripes, all who are legendary change agents. Some you may know, and hopefully many you don't. This podcast is the opportunity to bring you into the full conversation. I'm Shannon Mannon, along with my husband Mike and our VW bus Scarlett, who we've outfitted into an awesome mobile storytelling unit. We invite you into the full conversation with us. We're so glad you're along for the ride.
I love this conversation with Homeboy Industries CEO Tom Vazzo. There's something that's always drawn me to stories where unexpected people emerge as change agents. But if you think about it, that's the entire narrative of Homeboy, both the servers and the served. When I first read about Tom, the former Aramark executive, being asked by Father Greg Boyle to be CEO of Homeboy, the largest and most successful gang intervention, rehabilitation, and reentry program in the country, I thought, well, that's an odd choice. Tom thought so too. Who knows why Father Greg asked a for-profit guy to run things, he told us with a laugh. I was really drawn to the story of Tom, an East Coast educated type A driver, being one what we discussed as a fairly touchy-feely world now, and how that worked. I mean, that's a pretty dramatic jump if you think about it. Most people would, you know, they'd go into consulting probably, or hell, they'd play golf for that matter. Best decision I ever made, he told us. You'll hear Tom talk about that move from corporate to the community of Homeboy. And that's what this week's story is all about. What is success? What does it mean to bring value? We talk about those things a lot in the corporate world, you know, like what's your value proposition? How many hours I've spent, I'm sure Tom spent, you've probably spent in meetings talking about stuff like value proposition. I wrote in this week's story about Homeboy's morning meeting and the homegirl who gave the thought of the day, referencing the quote, "Tough times don't last, tough people do." You know, something you've said to your kid's soccer team after a bad loss. But when the environment is gangs and violence, life or death, jail or freedom, addiction or recovery, having your kids or losing them, those little sayings actually mean something different. You could feel her living that saying. You could see the tops of heads nodding to and feeling that saying. I felt that saying. And you'll hear me here trying to draw Tom out on the differences in his former corporate life and the life now of being deeply engaged from, you know, the time he wakes up to the time he goes to sleep, of the challenges that surround him. You know, these aren't lives you can engage with all day and then shut out at 4 o'clock. But interestingly, he doesn't bite. A lot of it's the same, he says, steadfast on the mission. I think it takes someone like Tom with the experience of Tom, you know, somebody who's had a career like his to see that similarity, to continue to live the mission, whatever it is. I also love the humbleness when Tom says, now, trust me, there's a lot of things we can fix. A million things go wrong every day. But he seems at peace with the effect they're having. He seems content with the progress he's making personally, too. Being more patient, open, loving, compassionate. The bigger picture perspective that only time can grant. God willing, we all get that time. Early one morning this week, I went to visit a friend of mine who's a mentor of mine, to talk about our trip to Homeboy. He loves Homeboy's missions. He's been following them forever and donating to them for a long time. "How was it?" he said. "Yeah, what was it like?" he asked me when I saw him. His eyes were wide open. And I thought for a second, and I told him, it felt like how church should feel. And it did. What was sort of fascinating to me is you come from the corporate side where leanness is such a priority, right? Sure. Efficiency is such a priority. Right. And you find yourself here in a place where what you're doing is in some cases almost the opposite of that. It's almost anti-lean. You know, mm-hmm. you're looking for man hours mm-hmm. so often to really fulfill the mission of what Homeboys is. How difficult was that of a transition for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm going to answer that two different ways. So for me, my Aramark position, I ran the uniform businesses, which is $1.5 billion business, 18,000 employees. And I had a long career at Aramark, 26 years. I loved my Aramark career. A lot of fun, I learned a lot. And at Aramark, it's a managed service company. And what you did well if you understood how to sort of run a service business. You're a good leader, a good manager of people, but very entrepreneurial. So a lot of decentralized, a lot of locations. And if you were good about understanding the dynamics of how you make money in terms of revenue and profits, but more so, how to be engaging with customers and how to get great customer service and be entrepreneurial there, you're going to be successful. So take that as a frame. And then now my life here at Homeboy, you know, it's really, in many ways, there's a lot the same and a few that's different. It's the same is every organization needs a structure. It needs an organization design. It needs a strategy. People need to understand their roles and their jobs. And most importantly, you need to understand the mission. And the mission here at Homeboy is what's so special. It's helping a very demonized, forgotten population, former gang members and felons to change their life around and get on the straight and narrow and to get a job eventually. But to do that, we spend a lot of time on loving people, caring for people. And so it's all about keeping the organization focused on the mission of what Homeboy is about. Just like in a for-profit world, you're focused on delivering good service to your customers so you can make good profits and pay your folks. All right, so to your question about isn't it different because it's about being lean versus not being lean? You know, as a nonprofit, it is hard because we live payroll to payroll, essentially, right? We raise $18 million a year, we spend $18 million a year, right? It's a wave of humanity, I say, that comes in the door and knocks on our door and needs help. And for Father Greg, he knows a lot about what this is about. And one of his teachings is always say yes to people, especially when they're vulnerable and they come in looking for help. So we have to find a way of saying yes, and we'll get you, not necessarily a job, but we'll get you into our education class, we'll get your tattoos removed, we'll get you some bus tokens. We're going to sort of be the first line of saying yes. So we have to stretch our resources very thin. So as an organization, we run as lean as any for-profit organization. Now, we're blessed with so many great donors who understand what we're about is helping people transform their lives. And part of that is in the context of jobs and our social enterprise businesses. And so for any one of our businesses, we carry 2 to 3 times as much labor as a for-profit business would have. But that's kind of paid for by donors, and they get that. And they get that for, you know, I also say 90% of the people who we serve have never held a job for more than a month in their whole life. And so for society to think that the prison system can release folks and then the government agencies is going to give them a little resume writing and for those people to actually get a job and keep a job, it's crazy because people have so many challenges. So for us, even though they're working in our business, they still have challenges. So they're not as productive as a for-profit business would have, but that's why we have so many extra. And thankfully, we have donors who understand that part of it. And so in our businesses, though, we run lean otherwise. We run like a for-profit business except for that labor line, as you would say. And so for me, it's about leading the strategy around the mission and make sure everybody's on the same page. So a lot of what I do is the same as it was in the former life.
How about the switch for you? You know, was there a time months in or however long when
it really all began to be home, and it became understandable, you know, at a deep level of what your world was.
No, that's a good question. So for me, when I first came in, I retired out of Aramark, and I knew I wanted to do something different besides being a corporate executive. And a friend of mine's on the board of Salvation Army, and who's on the board here, and he knew now I had time on my hands, and so he invited me for lunch at the Homegirl Cafe, and he started talking about Homeboy, and I was really intrigued because in the context of jobs, they're helping change people's lives. And for me personally, in my corporate career, what I've always valued was, you know, a great corporation is about having, you know, customers who want to do business with you, competing in the marketplace, and lastly, a great place to work for your employees where they can have their life ambitions come true. So those values to me lined up to what I first saw Homeboy was in the context of jobs, people are changing their life. Fast forward, I was volunteering, Father Greg asked me to be CEO. First of all, I'm not sure why he asked a for-profit guy to be CEO, but he did. And what I saw, though, even as a volunteer, was here are a group of folks who want to do well, want to work, want to be a part of something. And back in my corporate job, you know, we acquired 40 companies over 8 years. And so we sort of get a sense of what's a good culture, what's a good company you're buying. And what I saw at Homeboy was a great culture, good brand, people want to do well. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll come in as CEO and let's keep moving this business stuff forward. And the more I've been from those months forward, it's more about, and I say this, we're a human services organization. We're not businesses really. We're here to help people. And it's that understanding that our folks are victims of complex trauma, and they need to heal through all that trauma before they can actually be resilient enough to get a job and keep a job. And so my learning's been about being in this community of kinship and that you do things differently. You do things more as a group of people, not as sort of a hierarchical nature, that when you're dealing with a client and they got an issue, you got to be front and center for that client. You can't be thinking of the 9 other things that are on your to-do list, which is what most corporate people would do. And so it really, though, it's taken me years for all that to kind of sink in and really get a feel for what makes this place tick and what really makes people transform their life.
Perfect segue, because I wanted to ask you, you know, this place is built on that mutuality and that deep kinship. Sure. What can you talk about any stories that you have personally of how that's affected and transformed you? Any personal change since you've started here?
Maybe you should ask my wife that question.
Yes.
And my sons that question. Yeah, let me take a shot at it. So the answer I would say is, without a doubt, my own spirituality has grown. My recognition of my spirituality has grown. And that's been hard to pull out because, you know, look, I was pretty successful in the corporate world for 26 years. And you're not allowed to talk about God and religion. And, it's frowned upon, right? And in an open way, you don't talk about it. You don't talk about it with your colleagues, you don't talk about it with your business friends. It's just what you do in your personal time is your personal time. And here at Homeboy, it's like this is your life all throughout, right? You're learning what you're learning here, you bring home to your personal life as well, and vice versa. And so what I've really appreciated is how people are authentic. And they're real. They don't put up airs. In many ways, you know, the poor and the demonized, they're not virtuous. They don't have, you know, those of us who aren't poor, sometimes we come in with ego and we think we know everything. And so I've really come to learn through the stories of the trauma our folks have been through and seeing their transformation is that you don't take anything for granted. But if you're humble and kind of can see the reasons why things happen, and even when things happen don't make sense, you don't try to overanalyze, you just kind of go with the feelings and sort of move it forward. That's helped me a lot in my personal life in terms of personal balance, in terms of my own mental health, my own sort of attitude on life. Mm-hmm. And so while I've been here 5 years, it's really clear to me in this past year, I have a lot more to learn. and being with these people, sort of, it's endearing. It's sort of now, as Father Greg talks about, it's about kinship and mutuality. And those words are easy to say. They're kind of hard to do, but in this environment, it's like it's you see it happening right before you, and you kind of you meld into it. Mm.
Yeah. I was, standing down there for the morning meeting, and I was thinking to myself, how special it would be to be able to stand in this spot every morning, mm-hmm. and take all of that in. Do you still feel that day to day?
No, oh, yeah.
Is it continually chill, bump raising?
Absolutely, reveling. Now, clearly, in the first year, it was sort of also new compared to now. But no, I mean, morning meetings are one of our best things we do. And whenever I have visitors come in, particularly visitors who were from the corporate world, I just bring the morning meeting, because I think any corporation would just love to have that consistency of enforcing the ethos, the message, the mission of who you're about, right? And additionally, the stories don't get old. Mm-hmm. I mean, we serve so many folks, and people come through our doors, and their stories are kind of the same, but they kind of say it in their own way, and you can see over time as you see people how the transformation happens. You see how they're hardened, broken, despondent people when they first walk through our door, and then near the end, they're given their thoughts of the day, mm-hmm. and how they have found their own resiliency. They've reunited with their family. They become substance free. They got a dream about what's going forward. They're ready to take on the outside world. And that's sort of just, it's just so heartwarming to see that on a daily basis.
Chad and I were talking about this last night. Like you said, who knows why Father Greg asked you to, from the for-profit board to come to Homeboy, but because you think that corporate world is gonna have a particular influence, but after being here 5 years, what would you seek to take here and push out to them, Do you think about
it? I think about that a lot. It's a couple things. First of all, on a more tangible level, it's the knowledge that just because someone has a felony doesn't mean they can't be a good worker. I mean, we have our Homegirl Cafe. It's a Zagat rated cafe. There's only 13 other restaurants in downtown Los Angeles with as high a rating. And it's run by felons and gang members. I mean, it's not like outside professionals. It's run by felons and gang members, right? It works. And we go to 26 farmers market. And it's this cash basis business where the guys pick up the bread from the bakery, they drive the trucks out, they shop, they take the cash in, they bring it back. It works. We don't have a lot of problems. These folks, they want to be successful. They just have never given the chance, and they didn't have the know-how. And so, I often think of, if we can create this like business competition where we both have the same business model. I get to pick my employees, you get to pick your employees, and let's see who wins. I'm going to beat you because I know these are good folks. They want to do well. They want to succeed. They want to be better, without a doubt. So that's number one. It's about just because they have a felony doesn't mean they're not going to be good workers along the way. The other thing to take back to the business world is the value of the mission and the connection to social issues sort of brings people together in a much stronger way as you move forward. And so you would try to replicate that type of culture along the way. And then the third is really more just being not so uptight at Homeboy. Heck, dozens of things go wrong each day from an organization standpoint, business standpoint, right? But our mission still gets done, and it's done well. And that's the most important thing. So I've kind of learned to be more, personally, more tolerant, more patient. Let's just see how it plays out. We'll get through it. Which is, you don't experience that in the corporate world much.
Were you looking for something to be? You were volunteering here. Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit about that, but can you like kind of dig into the anatomy of the search and the exploration of? It's that you have such an inspiring story of truly creating a second act in your life,
right.
and what help us get into like the anatomy of how that all played out in your
was there a soul searching aspect? Yeah. Was there a, were you expecting to get full-time employment again? How, you just, however that moves in you.
Yeah, you know, I'll credit my father-in-law from the beginning. You know, he talked about, he had three careers, so three chapters of his career. And I remember as a young man, you know, just dating my wife and then getting to know him, I was somehow that when he was, when I heard him talking about that in his second chapter of his three careers, that kind of, that thought stuck with me. And so I always wanted to kind of then try the same for myself, right? And see, do really well, see how far I can take the corporate side, and then find something different. Now, so, and I left and I thought what I was gonna do in my second chapter was be an owner, be a, you know, work with private equity guys, buy a business, I would be the board chair, and then that business would grow and so forth. And so while I was going through that process, because it takes a while to find the right deal. So I was working with a bunch of, a few private equity groups. I started volunteering at Homeboy. And I didn't think that the second chapter was ever gonna be, you know, nonprofit business. I'll take a sidebar for a second. I really valued my time on the board of the Salvation Army of Los Angeles. Still on the board. And what I really, you know, the board, Salvation Army in Los Angeles has 30 locations where they actually do mission-related work, you know, housing for the poor and feeding, shelter and feeding the poor, right? And what I really I value though is the Army officers, how they dedicate their life to actually helping on social missions, right? And so that kind of intrigued me. I'm thinking, I wonder if I could ever do that. So that then when this came along, when Homeboy came along as a chance to volunteer, you know, look, I didn't want to be another board member. I could do that. I wanted to roll up my sleeve and see if I could actually put my skills to use in some way. And so I was a volunteer for a couple months. And at the same time, though, I was a part-time volunteer. At the same time, one of the deals was coming along on the private equity side. And so it came down to the second week of December. the same week, you know, Father Greg asked me to come on board as CEO. Mm. That other project came through, and the private equity guy said, okay, we put our bid in, we can get this if we bid a little bit more, but Tom, we got to know you're committed to being the board chair. And of course, if they need to change the CEO, I'd be CEO. And so I have this choice. I could go back into the world of business and private equity and sort of roll up companies, or I could come work at a nonprofit. And I remember sitting down with Father Greg, and at the time, Homeboy was going through financial problems, you know, always needing more money. Not anything, was nothing wrong with the money, just we didn't have enough money. And so I remember asking Greg, look, I know you need money, so I can just sort of go off and work here for a couple of years and donate back money, or I could stay here and kind of take on your offer. And of course, you know what Father Greg would say to that. But I thought about it. I thought hard about it. It's like the more comfortable thing for me would have been is to jump back into the corporate world, the business world, right? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, there was something about Homeboy. Part of it was being in the same space with Father Greg for an amount of time in his orbit. I just got, let's try it. And it's the best decision I've ever made. I mean, it's positively changed my life, right? At the time, my sons were a little bit younger, so they came down. They've come down to volunteer, and since then, they've gone to be in medical school, and one's a teacher, and so they have this service mentality as well. And again, I get to learn a lot about people I just would have never known being back into the other world.
Mm. Was there a lot you had to relearn in this? You know, mm-hmm. the skill set you've brought clearly, mm-hmm. you know, was well honed. What was the new that you had to learn that might have been scary or that might have been out of your comfort zone? Like what was that like?
And I think most nonprofits are particularly our nonprofits in the world that we human services agencies, right? It's very grassroots oriented. People love the mission. They bleed for the mission. They are the mission. And as most organizations start out, they're small. They start with a small group of 10, 12, 15, 30 people, right? So I come in and called the management staff is around 70 people. So there's 70 people who are invested in the mission. They work long hours, don't get paid that much. But part of that bargain in their mind is that they are a part of the mission. They've helped set the mission, right? And so in the corporate world, if the CEO says we're going to move left for all these good reasons, everybody moves left. In the nonprofit world, that's not happening, even though there are all these good reasons, right? And because no one wants to mess up the mission. They don't want to endanger what's there. And so the learning for me was to kind of go about it in a different way and talk to people in a different way and present the ideas in a different way, just to build the ideas, build the consistency up, to build the momentum to move. And it's not because people just outward don't want to help. It's just people care about the mission. And so that's number one. Number two, and then meetings are different. There's not a hierarchy. There's not an agenda. It's this touchy feely. There are different type of people. There are more touchy feelies in the world now than there probably were back when I was in business. So this has been a good experience for me to, how can I sort of a more go-getter, A-type personality succeed, right? And so, but I value, I don't mean dismissively touchy, but I value their insights into people, because what we are here is about helping people change their life. And so it's not a cookie cutter approach. It's not a formula. It's not something you can just win people over in logic. It's kind of, you need to be insightful about what motivates them, how that moves forward. So it's probably those skills more I've honed than anything else.
That's what I thought. Would you give any advice to someone who is in your position, or someone that's looking out at the rest of their lives and they want to make a change, you know, that have had a successful career and for whatever reason are ready for something new?
Yeah.
What would you tell them?
Definitely do it. You know, yeah. I think it's the best thing I've ever done. The advice I would have for people coming in, and look, Homeboy, I'll put it in this context. A backbone of Homeboy is volunteers. We have so many great volunteers, professionals, non-professionals. You know, we have 40 doctors who volunteer tattoo removal. We have 40 mental health professionals who dedicate hours. We have dozens of educators. We have a lot of people come in and give mentorship along the way. And so in my job, it's not just, I also try to raise the money for the organization, but also talking to potential volunteers. And what I say to all volunteers, and just like as Father Greg said to me early on, you know, we're not broken. You don't need to come in and fix us. Mm-hmm. Just come in, be part of the community, find your way. I can still remember this day when he's telling me this. And I leave the office. I'm thinking, oh, that's kind of cute. It's kind of cliche. You know, I get it, but I'm a successful business guy. Yeah, okay. I can fix, right? And what I've come to learn is right, and we're not broken. We definitely improve a lot of areas, but for our population, who have always been told all their life what they need to do and where they need to be and how they need to do it, coming and telling people to make change, that's not the way about it. It's first you got to form relationships. And I think that's probably good advice for a lot of different nonprofits as well, is just understand the culture and be a part of it and add value as part of the team in relationship. If people hear this, they'll think, oh, that sounds nice and cliche. Please take it to heart and listen to it.
In this act of your career, what's success look like to you now versus before? Or has it changed at all? The definition of it, you know, the definition of profit, the definition of success, you know, whatever word we choose.
To do this job, you got to really kind of be grounded in what you do feel success is about, right? Because I am a product of corporate America. I did it for 26 years. I did it well. I kind of learned the rules and succeeded, right? And those measurements of success don't work in the nonprofit world, right? And so you have to sort of figure out what feels good, what are you proud of at the end of the day? What are you content with? How do you talk to other people? And about Homeboy, it's helping people. And you know, almost 10,000 people come through our doors every year. And we have people in our paid training program and people to take advantage of our services for free. And what we do is we positively affect the arc of people's lives. And as you see that and experience it, you know, that's success. And when you And early on, I learned this from Father Greg as well, right? You know, early on, I'm talking numbers as a CEO, right? He doesn't count anything. You know, to him, it doesn't matter whether we serve 200 people or 500 people. It's, are you making the difference for that person who's right in front of you right then? And when that's firmly deep and grounded, then you feel good about it. And that's back to, if other people are going to do this nonprofit work, you got to have a good grounding of what success looks like along the way and how that fits into the mission.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So if you're new to the work of Homeboy, check out last week's story on founder Father Greg Boyle at 3MinuteStoryteller.com. And of course, consider donating to their incredible causes at homeboyindustries.org. Hell, maybe volunteer, you know, if you're in the area. Just make sure you don't go in and try to fix something. Unless it's yourself.